Turn.
So Mark 4, verse 30. So I want to talk about, again, this mystery of mustard seed faith. I'm going to say it, we got this wrong for a very, 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 very long time. I want to say wrong. We only saw part of the picture. But now God is bringing this thing full age, because when Jesus says something like, if you have faith as the grain of a mustard seed, you could say in the mountain, it'd be thou removed, and would obey you. Then there's probably something we're missing if our mountains are not moving. There's probably something we're not seeing if the mountain's not moving out of the way. And so Mark 14, Matthew 13, Luke 8, all was one sermon. And he said, unto you is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. And so the kingdom is a mystery, and everything he speaks about is a mystery, especially when you're dealing with the word of the kingdom. There are different words. The word of the Bible is all God's word, but there's different functions for his word. There's function for instruction, but then there is the word of the kingdom. That's the one we are after, because that's the one that's going to manifest the kingdom into the earth. And when the kingdom manifests, it's going to be shock and awe. And it's designed to be shock, awe. It's designed to be awesome, contagious. It's designed to literally shock people. They were astonished, the Bible says, with great astonishment. I mean, not just astonished, but with great astonishment. That level of the kingdom we don't see in our churches right now. But that level of the kingdom is hidden in that Bible, and it's hidden in a mystery. And until that mystery is open and that mystery is activated and we understand how that works, that word of the kingdom remains in the kingdom, but it's not functioning and flowing the way it was designed to function and flow. Our generation, I believe, it's going to see the greatest single display of the kingdom of God in any generation previous. But because this generation is going to come into a level of understanding, wisdom, light, revelation, and understanding how to move in these dimensions of what I'd call the creative realm of God, we're going to understand how to move in it, because if we're just waiting for that to happen, you can wait a very long time, because that's like waiting for a miracle. If you're one of those that like to wait on miracles, you get to wait a long, long time. The just will live by faith. But it's a faith that has been trained at a different level and a different frequency of God. And when we get into this realm, the way we're in it now, whoo! It's awesome. So let's go to Mark 4:30. And he said, whereunto shall we liken the kingdom of God? Or what comparison? So God's trying to take this kingdom. It's invisible, but it's not invisible to the eye of faith. It can be heard. It can be seen. It can be felt before it manifests in the hearing, seeing, and feeling realm. But he's trying to liken this kingdom. How does this kingdom come? How does this operation work? So the Lord kind of reduces this to this thing called seed. And it's like the grain of a mustard seed. When it's sown in the earth, it's less than the seeds that be in the earth. But when it's sown, it groweth up. So let's get a few things cleared up about mustard seed faith. He's not talking about small faith, little faith. He rebuked people for small faith, little faith. It's not what he's saying, but he said it is the avenue or the catalyst in which the kingdom must come out of heaven. It's going to come out in the form of a seed. It's going to come out in the form of the word of the kingdom. The word of the kingdom is going to be sown, and the enemy is going to come after that with everything he's got. And if you're not skilled, you'll have to go a few rounds with him, because he's coming with persecutions, afflictions, cares of this life, deceitfulness of riches, lusts of other things. He's coming with a myriad of things. It takes time to understand how he comes. It takes time to understand that you can wake up in the morning and sweep your floor with no problem, but you take that same time in the prayer closet and you can't even sit still for 15 minutes and you think it's just your flesh. But there are atmospheric thieves that want to steal your access and understanding of the kingdom of God and how it works. And they'll sit in there every day until you get skilled and overcome it. Amen. But once you overcome, there it is. You can shift. It doesn't even matter how you feel. You'll go up. You'll dismantle the old feelings. You'll dismantle the old. You'll reclothe, reset in the new, and you'll bring that atmosphere back into the earth. And that's when you'll speak to the mountain. You can't speak in the mountains when you're under them. You only can really speak to them when you're over them. And to get over them, you're going to have to get outside of them. And to get outside of them, you got to get into the jurisdiction of the kingdom. Amen. So let's see a few things about the dynamics of this seed that he's speaking with, because the Lord is saying, "Look, if you can get your faith and your understanding and understanding how my kingdom works, it's all in a seed. If you can understand how that seed works, you can understand how my kingdom works." Now, I'm not talking about you planting a seed and believing for a miracle. We're not talking about finances right now. We're talking about the creative realm of God. How God takes the creative, invisible riches and glory, which he laid up for you. So you've been blessed, say I am blessed, with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. And if you don't know how to get in heavenly places or operate in heavenly places, it will do you no earthly good because you can't get it here. You'll have to use other means and operations of God. God has an operation for everybody. He's got them for babes, sons, disciples, and joint heirs. He's got an operation for you. You'll never outgrow him. He's got enough. Amen. But he's got a big one for the last days. So let's look at a few things how mustard seed faith works. First thing about a seed, because God is genius when he created this seed. Think about it. Think about the expansive factor of a seed. It can multiply itself a million times or more greater than itself. It's in it. The first thing about faith, mustard seed faith, some of these you'll know. And towards the end, I'm going to get into an operation he's unveiling right now that he is really, really breathing upon. And it is the it factor, my opinion. First thing, it's a faith that is at rest. That seed, when it's planted in the garden, doesn't sit there and wonder, "Will I grow? Am I going to grow? Am I going to grow? Am I going to grow?" He doesn't sit there and do this. He doesn't move around. He sits. Hardest thing ever is to get anybody to sit down. Because we're a do-oriented generation. We're going to go do something for God. You got to watch that your doing doesn't replace your believing. If your doing and your performance starts replacing your believing, it'll cover your seed over. You'll get a lot of you and a little bit of God. But sometimes people see the little bit of God, and some people know how to present that little bit and make it look like a lot, but it's really not a lot. It just looks like a lot. It looks beautiful. But in the end, it's still a little. But it's a seed that is at rest. Its nature is to first rest. The nature of the word of the kingdom must come to rest, and it must bring you into a state of rest, and it's going to work out a few things. Like what? Like your capacity to try to perform that seed and do it, stand in the way, substitute, bypass, circumvent, Ishmael, Amalek, you know it, it's there. He's got to get that part out of you. See, that's part of the growth of the seed. It's going to remain in that state until he can get that other thing to bow down around you. Amen? Because the word of the kingdom, you can write this down, does not need your help. Not your fleshly help. The word of the kingdom does not need your carnal outfit self. It doesn't need your sufficiency. It does need your cooperation. It does need your assistance in spiritual matters. You're not going to do it without God, and God's not going to do it without you. It's the way he set it up. Can you believe it? God chose to co-labor with us. And he put this powerful kingdom in the earth But we have to co-labor with him. So the first thing is rest. Got to come to the rest. He that enters into my rest, he will cease from his own works. Got to get to that place. How many of you have ever been exercising that more than once? Raise your hand. Hey, I'm going on 10 or 15, praise God. Maybe 20. How many of you stepped out in there knowing that was it? And crashed and burned. And then the enemy, he comes with a heat load of condemnation and guilt. He's the one that set up the crash and the burn. But all that's good for you in the end if you really understand, because he's got to get that out, because the seed is not going to be contended with. God's kingdom, this kind of kingdom, when it comes out, he's going to remove that equation just like he did with Abraham. He's got to get that out of you. And if it's out of you, that's a good thing. It kind of feels sometimes like you're sidelined. But you don't get sidelined in your believing, you get sidelined in your doings. How many of you ever got sidelined in your doings? Man, I don't get to do anything for a racehorse. That's hard, because you got to sit in the pen. And all you want to do is run, and you don't get to run. I'm like, God, why'd you put a racehorse? Why'd you put a mare in me where I can just sit? You're going to run. We're not done yet. We just got to get some of those runnings out. They're the wrong kind of runnings. How many of you know what I'm talking about? They're the ones that originate from the soul. You got to get the soul under. You got to get the body under. You got to get that self-sufficiency down and submit it. That's a hard process. Not many people get through that one. That's what he means by coming into the rest. Once that seed gets in the rest, it's ready for other things now. Because there is something you can do. Man, the day I found out there's something I can do, it's like I'm walking with the ark. I can't touch the ark. I got to walk alongside it. I don't get to steady it. What do I get to do? I want to do something. But when I go try to do something, I fall on my face in the natural because I'm before my time. But what can I do? I found out what my doer can do. I can take my doer into a realm of faith. And I literally, God can take the limits off. And I've learned how to walk out of my future. It's pretty awesome. It's a faith. Watch this. Next one. That it's secure. It's going to come to security in its identity. You're going to have to come to realize if you're an orange tree, you cannot be an apple tree. You have to know who you are because you're pre-programmed to be something. And you're pre-programmed to be a son. You're pre-programmed to be a disciple and an heir, and then you have a pre-programmed calling and destiny that's unlike anybody else's in the entire known world. There'll be parts of different people's walk that you incorporate, but it's you and God eventually. And you got to get secure in who you are, because the mustard seed is not insecure about who he is. It knows that. I mean, if I'm an apple tree, I know there's an apple tree coming out of me. It's divinely designed. It's incorporated into the seed. It's all there. And it's going to bring you to a state of security. Got to come security. It's going to remove unworthiness, dysfunction. Part of the word of the kingdom is you hold it and keep it. He said, you hear the word, receive the word, understand the word, keep the word. Not talking about doing. He's not keeping that word. See, that word of the kingdom is going to produce something. It's going to eventually come out from you. And when it does, it's going to affect the generation you live in and generations to come, just like it did Abraham, because it's huge. It's big. And what's inside it's going to expand when it rolls out. But there's certain things it needs, and it's going to work on your identity. It's going to align your identity in the kingdom. It's going to align you in sonship. It's going to align you in security and love and grace. It's going to align you. That's part of the process. God is not going to take a calling that's designed for joint heirship and give it to an orphan dysfunctional spirit. You will blow out all four tires your first run through. Your camel will give out. You have to grow. It grows certain parts in you into a security, and it becomes secure. And then there is a security, and it's a gnosko know. Greek word gnosko. It's a knower in your knower. That you know who you are. You know what you're called to do. I don't know how to get it. I don't know how to do it, but I know that's who I am. And I'm solidified. I'm not trying to be the avocado. The lime, just in case you don't want to be an orange, the lime, how'd you like to be bitter all the time? Or a lemon. But you got to know who you are. Gnosko no. That's part of the seed. It's going to release its identity. It's already programmed in it. Amen. Now, this part is the big part that we've missed. This part right here, in the understanding of how what I'm about to say to you, when we learn, and it's going to take a training, you're not going to learn this. I was talking to somebody last night, and they said, just give me 3 points. I'm thinking, you can't do a 3-point with this. It doesn't kind of work that way. It's a training. You have to know. The Bible says in the same passage, in the same teaching, he said, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in the field. If the man sees that treasure and knows it's there, he will sell all he has to go after it. You have to settle before you go after this kind of thing that it's there. You have to know that you know. See, I know there's this kingdom and this treasure and this glory, and I know it's there. And I've committed my whole life to find it and apprehend and lay hold of it. And I don't care how many times I gotta dig, I will find it. Just like Isaac found the water. And he uncapped the wells. You'll find it. Because God said, if you seek it with all your heart, he's diligent. He will reward you. Of those who diligently, he's going to bring you to the place to find it. And along the way, you're going to learn a lot of things. This part about the seed, I didn't get this. I wish I'd have got it 35 years ago, but I got it. I got it now. Hallelujah. And I'm rolling. The key that this seed, it has the origins, the middle, the end, all compacted inside it. It can see the beginning. It can see the middle. And it can see the end because it sees where it's going. That seed, when it's planted, already has been programmed before it ever releases one part of its programming. It already knows the fullness of where it's going. It doesn't see in part, it sees in whole. It knows that I am going to be that sprawling oak tree before we're done. I know I'm going to be that sprawling apple tree. And I know there's 1,000 more times, 1,000 more times, 1,000 more. I know it. That programming has to get inside of you. Beginning, middle, and end before it comes to pass. Go to Zechariah 4, because Pastor Chuck brought up something really good. He brought up something powerful Wednesday night. Now, this whole prophecy is an end-time prophecy. The whole prophecy is Zerubbabel, Christ, the king, bringing people out of Babylon. He was the king that brought all. He came out with the first, him and Joshua. He was king. Joshua's high priest. They came out of Babylon. Cyrus released them. All that Babylon. And all these prophecies, Haggai, Zechariah, you know the story. You've been here. None of them have been fulfilled. This one especially. Even the two olive trees is mentioned in Revelations. He stands by the Lord of the whole earth. These are the two olive trees he mentions. So this prophecy is last days. Verse 9, the hands, that's what we are. We're hands. We're in his hand. The hands of Zerubbabel. Zerubbabel is Christ. It's the king. He's the king of glory, and he's bringing the final stone. He says it in verse, I just want to say that. Verse 7, who art thou, a great mountain before Zerubbabel? Thou shalt become level ground. He'll bring out the final crowning stone, the headstone. He's bringing it out. He's laid the foundation stone. He's bringing the final stone out. We are looking for that day. He's not coming back the same way he came in. He's coming back King of Kings. He's bringing the final crowning stone. Now watch this. The hands, his house, he's going to open the house again. He's going to open the house of David. He's going to open the treasuries, the crown, the throne, the kingdom. But this is coming off his throne now that's been perfected, because he sits on the throne now of David. It says the hands of Zerubbabel have laid what? The foundations of this house. That house goes all the way back to Abraham. His hands shall also Finish it. So look at here. You have foundation to finish. This word, by the way, was given to me 35 years ago. And he said to me, this is all you need to accomplish my will for you in the last days. Two olive trees, a golden bowl, and a dude named Zerubbabel. And that's all I need. But back then, he gave me that chapter. And look at that word that's in there. Foundation and finish. Foundation, beginning and end. Was in the word. When he sent it, I didn't see beginnings. I didn't even see middle. I didn't even see end. I didn't even know who they were. But as I began to walk with him, that seed stayed with me. And then he taught me how to keep it in front of him. And when I started putting it in front of him, he started expanding the wisdom, the understanding. He took it all the way back to Abraham, and he moved it all the way at least 1,000 and something years in front of our future. And he expanded the revelation and the understanding of what this final stone was and what it would do and how it would transform the earth. He would bring out this crown, and you're going to see it in our generation. It's going to outlast every single one of us. He's going to shake the heavens and the earth with it. The sea and the dry lands and the treasures of all nations will return to his house. He will fire the Shebnas and hire the Eliakims. The whole weight of the Father's house will be laid upon the final crowning stone, the final nail. It's all coming out now. It had the beginning and ending in it, but I couldn't see it. But that didn't mean it wasn't there. But watch this. This is what God's waiting on you. Now, you may not have a crown to carry, but you've got a purpose and a calling. And there is something God has given to you. Though you can't see it, he's already spoke to you. He has spoken. He has given his word. He's given you encounter. He has sent the word of the kingdom to you. You may not know it, but it's there. And that little word from that chapter produced this. And it produced the other one too. It produced the crown of glory. It's producing these things called constitutions. These are beginning, middle, and end of the whole thing. This is the seed extracting out. Well, where is it? It's all here. See, if you had faith, what does the seed do that's unlike any other seed? It knows who it is, where it's going. It sees beginning, middle, and end. It's already pre-programmed. It doesn't work to become what it is. It's pre-programmed in it. The programming is already in the word God sent, like he sent the word Zechariah 4. But here we are 34 years. Now the foundation, I can literally say we've arrived. That foundation of that house is finished. It's been laid. There is more about the Latter-day house. Just go to the right hand of God and start listening. You'll see. He laid it out. Seven spirits of God laid it out. All the way to how this kingdom works. But we also see in front now. Because he opened the door and let us walk out into John's words, and we get to see what God's doing from a witness position, from the eyewitness of what's going to happen in the latter days. Open the book of Revelation. I was never even an eschatology teacher. He just opened it because that was part of the seed. But he opened it as it pertained to the crown. Some people see a 7-year tribulation. They see wrath. I see crown. I may not be here, but that crown will be. That crown is going to cause every single nation to bow. The kingdoms of this world will become the kingdoms of our God. And he will slay the kingdoms of the earth with the word of his mouth before it's done. And he'll set up the millennial reign, and that crown will cause everything to come under its dominion. Right now, he brought it up into the heavens. He has to legally bring it back down here. He sits on the throne of David now, not waiting. He sits on it now. God reassigned all of that up into the heavens. It's spiritual, but it's coming back for people to see in the natural. His church is going to display it first. When God speaks to you, the genius of what he gives you is in there. But if you don't do anything with it, you won't see it. If you won't see it, you won't have what he says, the faith of the grain of mustard, because you don't see where you're going. You don't see it. It's been covered over. It's been clouded over. And because of that, it's not properly programmed into the canvas of your spirit. And if it's not properly programmed, it's not coming out yet. But if you keep it like he said it in Deuteronomy, Solomon said it, David said it, Jesus said it. Paul said it. The number one thing you can do in this life is learn how to keep his word. Master what he has spoken to you. Keep it before him and he'll magnify it. And when he magnifies it, something's going to happen. So as you hold it, what happens in his light, see, it was designed, Jesus said like this, if you abide in me where I am and my words abide in you, you can ask what you will. You don't just walk up there and abide one day and say, I ask what you will, and here it comes. When you hold the word, he starts expanding, because what he's looking for is the programming of that seed to release on the canvas of your spirit. You got to see the beginning and you got to see the end, and you got to fill out a canvas, because he's literally transferring the invisible kingdom to you. And he does it by standing in his presence, keeping the word. He writes it onto your heart. He literally writes the living testimony of God into your heart. And then you're a carrier, what? Of beginning, middle, and end. And if you're good at this and you keep it, I mean, if you get skilled at this, disciple, I'm getting in the arena of discipleship now. You have babes, you've got sons. You have disciples, you have heirs. And I'm getting into the realm of discipleship heirs. This is where the discipline, this is where you're going to have to know there's a treasure at the end of this, or you won't do it. You won't do it. You won't stay with it. You'll find something else to run with. It won't hold enough importance to you. And if it doesn't hold enough importance, you'll let it go. Something else will occupy. In these days, there's 1,000 different ways to serve the kingdom of God. I get all that. But I'm also looking at a realm that's promised. I can't see it. It's not showing up around here. The gift realm won't produce it, but it's there. And we're learning how to do it, and it's in the seed. So if I can get this seed extracted and go through this, what I call, I don't know how to explain it, a painting process, where you see it and you say it like a poet and you speak it. Now here's what happened. When God started doing this, he went all the way back to Abraham. And then he brought us up to where we are. And then he started moving up into the front. Back then, he was just showing us through the golden lampstand. How many of you listened to the part of that? Raise your hand. And as you start looking at the golden lampstand, he's showing us what's out in front. It's pretty powerful what's out in front. Back then, he was just showing it. I didn't know what he was doing. He's just showing it. And we'd preach it and show it. Now, we're not just showing it. We're walking out into it. In the spirit, we walk out beyond where we are. You got to walk out beyond. And so God says, well, what do you mean walk out beyond? He had to give revelations to support that kind of operation. Thus, here cometh time habitation. The revelation of him that was and is to come, and how men were caught up into the glory realm of God. They got to move beyond their time. Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it. Abraham, David, both received accounted righteousness. They both entered into our dispensation and operated under accounted righteousness. See, you get to go beyond the veil if you're hungry. But it separates. You have to go beyond the veil. Your hunger has to push you out into God. He'll take you out there. You just got to sit in front of him. Thinking sitting in front of him is easy to do. It's not. The enemy already knows. You sit in front of him long enough, you are going to change. God's going to set something up inside you. Now, still hadn't seen anything. Boy, this revelation, I'm going to say it again. This revelation in Abraham changed everything for me. If you don't have that revelation, understanding the face of God, the panim, understanding the panim, which is face of God, Hebrew word panim, the revelation of because this was given to open a realm. God came to Abraham at 99 years old, 24 years of walking with his promise. He got nowhere, and he wasn't even close to it that day. But God finished him off in one day. God came right and stood right in front of him. He says, walk before my face today and I'll perfect you. That's what he said. And he literally took him by the hand and he started his journey. And we took him by the hand. See, we got faith wrong. We were trying to call all of that to where we are. That's not how it works. The faith of Abraham does not work that way. You call it from the position of the future. And I'll show it to you like this. Abraham, boy, I'm learning this. He was sitting, and God took him by the hand. He said, thy name is no more. In literally the Hebrew literal translation confirms this. In Romans 4 said, I have made thee. He made thee, not going to make you, I made thee a father of many nations. He hadn't even birthed a son yet, but God made him. So he grabbed his hand, he says, thy name is no more Abram, but thy name has been Abraham. You know why he said that? Where was he standing? Future. He walked past his name change. You have been Abraham for a long time now. See where he's at? See, he's walking him out into himself, into him that is to come. A father of many nations, I have made you. Well, when was that going to come? That was confirmed in Christ. Watch this. Kings have come out from your loins. Boy, that was thousands of years. All the way to the day he confirmed Abraham, seed, this is the one I'm promising it all to over here. This seed. One seed's going to come out of your loins. You're going to have to give birth to one person, but in all of their generations, it's all going to be, and he's the heir. He's the heir. He's going to change everything. He'll change everything. He got him all the way. And then what? Abraham what? Rejoiced to see my day. And he saw it. John, same thing. John walked out in front. His words, we walk out unto him every day now. They're our words now. His words are our words. He already walked the future out. We already won. Do you know the devil, the one that we're having such a problem with? Do you know that he's going to be reduced to such a frail spirit that at the great white throne judgment, when they come out and he empties the belly of hell, they're going to say, is this the one that deceived us? That is the one that deceived us? He is going to be reduced to nothing in the end. But that's already happened in heaven. You got to understand, when God sends something from heaven, how do you know it happened? Because John walked it out in an eyewitness state. He didn't see it. He walked it. He was real time, saw it, interacted. It was finished. Given to us as a finished work. Now that's important, because your promise got to get to that level. Okay, go to Romans 4. We're right here in Abraham. Now, get this part, because this is what we're learning. We're learning where to speak from our mountains from. I do not speak from the mountains in this jurisdiction, not until I am shifted, changed, transformed, come back. Verse 17. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations. He did it that day, by the way. He got Abraham back. He said, by this time next year, you'll have a son. And Abraham laughed. Another chapter later, Sarah laughed. They both were still in unbelief. But God already finished it. You know why? For what I'm about to tell you right now. It's not what you speak. It's where you're speaking from. If you get what I'm about to say to you, even though you fully can't understand it, it's the mystery of mustard seed faith and how to move the mountain. He says, as I have made thee a father of many nations before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead, and he calls things in the be not realm. Really, the proper translation is not as though they were. He calls things that be not from the realm that is. See, believe it or not, right now we're in a be not realm. And according to your promise, is your promise fulfilled? If it ain't, you're still in a be not realm. But there is a realm which your promise is fulfilled. And if you can learn how to stand in front of God long enough to see its end, it'll get so strong and you can actually walk out into the end. See that I have given. See that I have given. Suddenly I have given. Well, when we started doing this, just like Abraham, God didn't speak till he got him beyond. And then he said, a father of many nations, I made thee. Thy name is no more Abraham. Thy name has been. Where is he at? He's not where he was. He's not standing in real time with Abraham. He walked him out, and he walked out. He spoke from the realm that Abraham actually arrived to in himself. In the Father, everything's living. Your life is finished. The Lamb was slain from the foundation of the world. Everything has to catch up to where he already is. There is him that was, is, and is to come. But any part, we already seen men could move into the reality of the future and live it. Not just see it. They could be there like John was, interact real time. God translated them into his own self. Right? So there is a time. Let's look at it this way. When God gave this word of Zechariah 4 35 years ago, there was a time that we could literally arrive in the middle of this progression and say, the foundation of the house is complete. There was a time back then I couldn't see that, but I'm already here now. I'm in real time with God. But there's also a time that we're going to be standing over here and said, hey, the book has been opened. The white horse is running. The church has been crowned. Look at this. Do you remember the days we were standing back there? Now watch this. We're going to get there because he said, why? Because he said the hands laid, the hands what? Finished. So if he already said it was going to happen, it's just a matter of us getting there. That's one part of it. But where's the authority? Where's the faith? Where is the creative part of it? Your capacity to see that before it happens. Your capacity to have it mapped out before it happens. First he shows it to you. Then he takes you by the hand and walks you out into himself. Now, you've gone beyond the veil. But his hands would finish. Can I go stand in the finish line? Yes. And if you stand in it long enough, it becomes as vivid as the realm you just left. It becomes living, alive, full, glorious. Cody, does it become living, alive, full, and glorious? Well, he knows because he prays with me. So this realm we hardly get to in the corporate prayer. But whoosh, say whoosh. This is the whoosh realm. All of a sudden, this oil starts flowing. We walk out a finished work. What's happened? Nothing. But we're moving in the seed now. The seed's expanding itself inside of us. It's getting ready to release. What's God waiting for? The end to get painted before the beginning. God declares the end from the beginning. That's the glory realm. So now you're staying in the end, and you look back. It's finished. It becomes living. Then you can speak to that realm that be not. You're not standing in the be not realm now. Where are you standing? In the is realm. If you can get your faith there, believe me, you can get it there. You can get out of the be not realm and you call the be not realm into the realm that is. See, you call it now like God did because he was given the example of Abraham. He didn't call the be not realm from the be not realm. He walked beyond the be not realm and he spoke from beyond the be not realm. And when we learn that kind of faith, we walk from beyond the be not and we get into the realm that is and we call that be not realm the be not into the realm that is. Follow thou me. Where I am in the I am, these signs, miracles, and wonders will follow. That's the mystery. That is the mystery of all mysteries. That can only be found in the glory of God. It can only be found in Christ, the doorway, and it can only be found in truth of God's word. And when we find it, we'll find the kind of faith that can literally transform a whole generation. Because you can walk beyond your own miracle in your own body. You can walk out. In God's word, he will teach you to do it. But when you call the be not realm, you're standing in the finished position. And you're going to have to walk out there a couple times and keep walking out there until it gets alive, until this realm, oh my God, it's living over here. This is a reality. God said, now pray, thy will be done on the earth as it is finished from here. See, it's finished in the kingdom. It's finished in the Father. Now call it from that earth. Into the earth. I call it in there and I command it to follow. I command things that be not into the realm that is. How can you call the realm it is if you're not standing in it? He said it like this. But you hadn't heard that one in your Bible school. How many feel weary, tired right now? You can't sit there and eat milk and Cheerios for the rest of your life and think the manifestation of the glorious kingdom is going to happen. It don't happen that way. It happens in the realm of the Father's glory and understanding how the realm works and understanding how he moves you out into his own self, into a place that's finished. He said, if you believe God, he said, when you pray, stand. He says, believe that you receive, and then you shall have. Where do you receive? Where we missed it, we're trying to receive that future here. We got it all wrong. We're supposed to receive the present into our future, not the future into the present. That's where we got it wrong. And because of that, the image is not properly releasing, and God doesn't want to birth a half-cocked image. He wants the whole of it. That's why he took Abraham and confirmed his seed all the way to Christ before he gave one birth. He goes, I'll wait another generation, but until I confirm the seed in your loins, you're not giving birth. Because it's about him. It's not just about the Isaac. It's about that one's coming, and you got to see him. And you got to stand where he is, and you got to behold him. And when he's confirmed and you see his day, then the seed is completed. Now when you give birth, it's finished. Because within Isaac is Christ. He's in there. When we give birth to the crown, the next 1,000 years is in there. Heavy. But that's the mystery. That's what everyone's missing. When we get this one, we get that one right. And we learn how to move in the glory of God. And we learn how to move properly in the glory of God. And we know how to move out. This be not realm, it's fallen. It'll follow you into the creative realm of the Father. And nothing can stop it. That's why from this position you speak to the mountain and you command it to follow now. And it will obey. Everything that's not creative is going to follow. It's going to obey and follow us in to the creative realm of the Father from where we have a right to stand. It's the glory realm. Give God glory!